I just can't stop praising his name. There are individuals who live out their lives because they seek the praise of other people. In fact, oftentimes what they do and how they do it is motivated in large measure as to whether or not others are going to praise them for what they have done. In fact, if you look at what's happening in our nation today and what's happening in the White House, what is happening with the 45th, I think that most of you, if not all of you, would agree with me that what motivates him is, in fact, the praise of people. Whenever you see him around his constituency and he's at a sort of a rally, you see that he's standing in front of the people and he is clapping his hands. And the reason that he claps his hands is because he wants them to keep on clapping. He wants them to clap a little bit louder. And the reason for that is simply because he wants the praise of the people. The praise of the people is like water to a thirsty man. It is like food to someone who's hungry. And so what we find happening in the White House today is that decisions are being made, not because they are the best decisions for our country, but those decisions are being made simply because the person in the chair wants to receive the praises of the people. And so I believe that he's willing to say anything, and I believe that he's willing to do almost anything, simply to get somebody to stroke his ego. There are people who live their lives simply because they want the praises of people. John Wesley was about 21 years of age when he went to Oxford University. He came from a Christian home, and he was a gifted person with a keen mind and good looks. Yet in those days, he was a bit snobbish and sarcastic. But one night, something happened that set in motion a change in his heart. It was while he was speaking with a porter that he discovered that the poor fellow had only one coat and lived in an impoverished condition. He only had one bed in which to sleep, but yet he was an unusually happy, filled person. He was filled with gratitude to God. Wesley, being immature and thoughtless, he joked the man about the man's misfortunes. He said to the man with a great deal of sarcasm, "And what else do you thank God for?" The porter smiled and, in the spirit of meekness, replied with joy. And he said, "I thank him that he has given me my life and my being, a heart to love him, and above all, a constant desire to serve him." John Wesley was deeply moved, for he recognized that this man knew the meaning of true thankfulness. And so it was many years later, in 1791, that John Wesley lay on his deathbed at the age of 88. And those who gathered around him realized how well he had learned the lesson of praising God in every circumstance. Despite Wesley's extreme weakness, he began singing the hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I have breath." John Wesley understood that it is important not to seek the praises of men, but rather the importance of giving praise unto God. Here in the text that I read this morning, we find that Jesus is entering close to the city of Jerusalem. He is now at the Mount of Olives. He's at the foot of the mountain. And as Jesus is at the foot of the mountain, all of a sudden the crowd bursts out in a long shout of praise. They are now giving praise unto Jesus. And one of the things that I've learned in looking at the scripture about their praise of Jesus is that their praise was a salutation. In other words, their praise of Jesus was merely a greeting. They couldn't give him a hug. They couldn't give him a handshake, but what they could give him was a praise. They could not invite him to their welcoming ceremony, but they could give him praise. And I believe that in all of our living, that every morning when we awaken, that we might not be able to give the Lord a handshake and we might not be able to give him a hug. But the one thing that we can do is that we can give him praise. We can give the Lord praise because he's allowed us to have a good night's rest. And he's now awakened us to see and to behold a new day. And so here we find that when these brethren are gathering, they are giving Jesus praise. And they are giving him praise as a form of a salutation. It is also true in the text that in their praise, that their praise was one of solidarity. Notice, if you will, that it wasn't just a few people that were giving him praise. But what the scripture tells us is that everybody was doing the same thing. It tells us here in the verse that it was a whole multitude of the disciples that they began to rejoice and praise God. And what that says to us this morning, my brothers and sisters, is that our praise of God, it's not something that just should be done by a few of us, but rather it is something that should be done by all of us. It is not just something that should be done by the praise team, because I believe we got a great praise team here. But the praise of God is not just to be done by the praise team, nor should it be simply done by the praise dancers. But rather it should be done by each and every one of us. That if we have blood running warm in our veins, that we ought to be willing to give him praise. And so the Bible tells us that it was the multitude that began to give him praise. This praising of God, this lifting up the name of God, was one that was done in solidarity. But also you must understand here in the text that the lifting of the voice and the giving God praise, that it was done with a shout. Notice, if you will, in verse 37, it says that the whole multitude of the disciples, they began to rejoice and they praised God with a loud voice. In other words, they weren't quiet in what they were doing, but it was a loud voice. And I believe that they were praising God so loud that it didn't matter whether they were inside or outdoors, I believe everybody could hear them. It didn't matter whether they were in the city or somewhere outside the city, that everybody could hear their shout. And what that says to us this morning, my brothers and sisters, is that if you're going to praise God, that every now and then you got to get loud in your praise, that you can't be quiet if you're going to praise my God. Maybe you can't sing like the choir sung this morning, and you can't sing it like Sister Sherry Bush, but I declare that you can still praise God. Maybe you can't dance like our praise dancers, but yet you can still praise God. Because what we all can do is that we can all open up our mouths. If God has given you a mouth to speak, and if he's given you a tongue to speak, that you can give God praise. Because what all of us can do is that we can shout hallelujah. For my Bible reminds me that hallelujah is the highest praise. And so every now and then when the Spirit of God begins to move on you, that you ought to be willing to open up your mouth. That nobody ought to be able to prod you and push you and pump you to praise him, because when you stop and think about what the Lord has done in your life, you sung just a few minutes ago that when you think back over your life where God brought you from, that you can't help but say thank you. And I believe that somewhere in the midst of saying thank you, there must be a praise. Than the midst of thinking about how good the Lord has been and how gracious the Lord is, that you can't help but give him praise. And so here we find that the whole multitude, that they were engaged in praising God. And the reason that they were praising him was because of the provisions that God has brought to pass. For the Bible tells us that as they were praising him, that they praised him for all the mighty works that they had seen. I believe that they were praising God for all the provisions that he had made possible in their lives. The lame were now walking, the blind were now singing, the deaf were now hearing, and the dumb was now speaking. And so because of all that the Lord had done for them, that they couldn't help but give him praise. And I believe this morning that when you look back over your life, that certainly you can say that the Lord has done a whole lot in your life. That the Lord has given you not only the visible things, but he's also been gracious enough to give you the invisible things. And so because of all the Lord has done for you, that you ought to be willing to give him praise. And when God gives you not only what you need, but on occasion, guess what? God will give you the desires of your heart. And whenever I stop and look back over my life and realize how good the Lord has been to me, that I don't have to wait till I get to church to give him praise. When I start thinking about how the Lord brought me from a mighty long way, I can't help but exalt and give him praise. When I think about the fact that just a little boy growing up in the West End part of Richmond, that the Lord brought me from a long way. The Lord brought me not only through high school, but also through college and then through graduate school and gave me a few degrees, that I can't help but give him praise. When I think about the fact the Lord put clothing on my back and the Lord put food on my table, I can't help but give him praise. When I think that the Lord gave me a car to drive, that I can't help but give him praise. But more importantly, when I stop and think about the fact the Lord put salvation down in my heart, I can't help but give him praise. So the Bible said that they were praising God. They praised God simply for the provisions that he made possible. We are told here in the text that they were praising God for the peace that God had given. For it said here in the scripture, it says in the text that they were busy saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven." In other words, they understood that Jesus Christ had now brought about peace, that they were no longer at odds with God, but that Jesus Christ had now brought peace between them and God. That because of Christ, that God was no longer angry with them, but now they are walking in fellowship with God. And I believe this morning that we also can rejoice and we can be thankful and praise his name because we do in fact have peace with God. I heard Jesus say it like this. He said, "I am in the Father and the Father is in him." I heard Jesus declare that no man comes unto the Father but by him. And I want you to know this morning that we have fellowship with God, not through our own goodness, but rather we have fellowship with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if that's not enough to make you want to praise him, I don't know what will do it. If that's not enough to make you to want to give him thanks and to celebrate the goodness of God, I really don't know what will do it. If you don't understand that Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a house for you, a hand that's not placed, that's not made with hands, but a place that has been made eternal in the kingdom, if that doesn't get you excited, I believe that nothing will. But the Bible said that they were rejoicing and giving God praise. And they were giving him praise simply because of the peace that Jesus had made possible. They were now praising God and they were lifting up the name of God because of the position that Jesus occupies. Notice what they said here in the text. They says in verse 38, "Glory in the highest." In other words, they're saying that Jesus is high and lifted up. And because of his position, I now can give God praise. And I want you to know this morning that you ought never just praise God for the provisions, but every now and then you ought to praise him for the position. You ought not just praise him for what he's given to you, but every now and then you ought to praise him for what he's done for you. Because the truth of the matter is that I don't care what he's done for me, what he's given to me, I just thank him for what he's done in my life. Because the truth of the matter is that the Lord has done more for me than I could ever do for myself. And so for that reason, Jesus is being praised and Jesus is being exalted simply because of his position. But look closely at the text. Because what you will discover in the text is that not everybody was praising him. There were those religious folk. The Bible said that the Pharisees, they were also in the crowd. And when the disciples, the followers of Jesus, began to praise the name of Jesus, oh yes, these Pharisees, they then turned to Jesus. And they said to Jesus, cause them to stop all of that noise. They said to Jesus, make them be quiet. They said to Jesus, rebuke your disciples. But notice what the Lord said. The Lord said unto them that I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. For what the Lord was really doing is that he was paraphrasing Habakkuk 2:11. For there in Habakkuk 2:11 it says, for the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. And so the Lord was simply letting them know that if you don't want to praise me, that's all right. I've got some other folk that are willing to give me praise. And I want you to know this morning that the reason that the Pharisees were unwilling to give God praise was simply because of their own insecurity. Because the truth of the matter is that you will never be able to praise anyone if you are insecure about who you are. And so here were the Pharisees. They were so concerned that if they gave God praise, that if they thanked God for Jesus the Christ, that somehow Jesus would be elevated a little higher than they were. They were concerned that if they exalted the name of Jesus and that if they gave him praise, that somehow Jesus would take the front seat and they would be somewhere on the back seat. And that was simply because of their own insecurity. And I want you to know this morning that you will never be able to celebrate the success of somebody else if you are insecure in who you are. A whole lot of us, the reason that we can't applaud anybody else and the reason that we can't celebrate anybody else is because we are not secure in who we are. But I want you to know that when you are secure in yourself, you don't mind promoting somebody else. You don't mind lifting up somebody else. When you know who you are and when you know what God has done in your life and when you know that can't nobody take from you what God has already given you, you don't mind lifting somebody else. Here were these brethren, here were these Pharisees, and they were so insecure. And because of their own insecurity, they could not give Jesus praise. And so therefore they said to Jesus, cause your disciples to hush their mouths. Here were these Pharisees, and the reason that they could not give him praise was not only because of their insecurity, but also because of their insensitivity. They were insensitive to the fact that there were people that had gathered here. And because of their gathering, God had done some great things in their lives. And because of all that God had done for them, they needed to give him praise. But here were the Pharisees, and they were insensitive to all that God had done. I believe somewhere in the crowd there was blind Bartimaeus. There was the son of Timaeus whom Jesus had given him his sight back. I believe that somewhere in this crowd there was the man that laid at the pool for 38 long years. The one whom Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk. I believe that somewhere in this crowd there was the lady with the issue of blood. The lady that spent all of her money on physician but could not be healed by any of them. But one day, she was able to touch the hem of the Lord's garment and her bleeding stopped. And so therefore, because the blind man was there, the lady was there, that they couldn't help but give him praise. They remembered what the Lord had done in their lives. But here were the Pharisees, and they were insensitive to what Jesus had done for them. And I want you to know this morning, there are people in churches every Sunday. And the reason that they don't want you to give God praise is because they are so insensitive to what God has done in your life. They are insensitive to the fact that God picked you up and that God turned you around. They are insensitive to the fact that when you were sick, that it was God that healed your body. They are insensitive to the fact that when you were lost, it was God that found you. But I want you to know this morning, if you only knew my story, if you only knew where I came from, if you only knew what God did in my life, I declare that you wouldn't frown on my praise, but rather you would join me in my praise. If you knew that God picked me up, and that God turned me around, and that God planted my feet on solid ground, you'll join me and give him praise. But here were these Pharisees, and they were so insensitive to what Jesus had done. And so because of their own insensitivity, they wanted Jesus to stop the crowd. Here we find that these Pharisees, the reason that they didn't want anybody to give Jesus praise was because of their own indignation. In other words, they were angry with Jesus. And the reason that they were angry with Jesus is because Jesus spent time with publicans and with sinners. They were angry with Jesus because he allowed his disciples to eat with unwashed hands. And so because of their own anger with Jesus, they could not join in the praise. And I want you to know this morning that some folk can't praise God because they're still angry. They're still angry with him. And I want you to know that you can't praise him and be angry at the same time. Because praise and anger is like water and oil. The two just won't mix. But then also there are people that come to churches on Sunday, and the reason they can't praise God in the congregation and in the assembly of the righteous is because they're angry with people that are in the congregation. And I want you to know that as long as you're angry with people in the church, you'll never be able to praise him while you're here. But I declare that if you leave your anger outside the door, I declare that if you leave that stuff outside, then when you get inside, you'll be able to give him praise. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, the Lord has been too good to me. I don't have time to be angry with you because the Lord has brought me from a long way. I don't have time to frown up my face, and I don't have time to look down on you because God picked me up. And so therefore, I'm going to give him praise. As long as I have breath in my body, I'm going to praise him as long as I can. Give God praise. And so therefore, these Pharisees, because of their own indignation, they could not give him praise. But Jesus recognized something. And what Jesus recognized is that the praise of God is in fact personal. In fact, the praise of God is something that individuals are charged and challenged to do. That it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter where you came from, that God expects all of us to give him praise. That is why the Bible says of God that we should bless the Lord at all times, and that his praises shall continually be in our mouths. And that is simply because our praise of God is personal. You might not be able to praise him like somebody else, but I want you to know that you can still praise him. You might not be able to dance and sing like somebody else, but you can still praise him. And I'm not talking about praising him in quietness, but I'm talking about praising him with a shout. Because every now and then, maybe you don't get up and dance, and maybe your feet don't get light, but you can still open up your mouth. You can still say, God, I bless you, and God, I thank you for all you've done for me. Because when I look back over my life and I remember where the Lord has brought me from, every now and then there's a hallelujah that takes hold of my spirit. Every now and then there's something that starts burning on the inside. Every now and then there's a hallelujah. I just can't keep it to myself. But every now and then I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And that is because something on the inside is still working on the outside.